of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to start there tonight for a little while and see what the Lord will say and how He will direct us. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, seven stars. I know thy works, thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Verse 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Praise God. God bless you. Everybody said praise the Lord. You can be seated. I've read the story of three churches. One is cold, dead. One is alive. And one is half alive and half dead. The story of three churches. But the one I like is the story of the Church of Philadelphia. A living organism, biologists tell us, has four functions. First of all, it has sensitivity. Anything that is alive will be sensitive to everything that is around it. It will be sensitive. If a church is alive, it will be sensitive to the lost. It will be sensitive to the need of others. It will be sensitive to the Holy Ghost if a church is really alive. It also will have movement. That church that's alive will be a church of action. Something will take place around that church. There will be something important going on. People will be excited about their working for God. They'll get excited about church. They'll get excited about such things as a prayer meeting. Get excited about visitation. I'm talking about a church that is alive. It will have a reproduction power about it. That means it will reproduce if it's alive. If a couple gets married and there are no defects in their body, everything is normal, it's a normal thing that they would reproduce. They will bear children. And I don't mind to tell you, the Word of God teaches that it is an abomination for a church to exist and not bear children. There comes that time you have to have that refreshing from the presence of God, and there has to be revival to stay alive. So there must be reproduction. Also assimilation. That means bringing into the likeness. Anything that is alive, it will bring that is born into it, and it will look like and it will assimilate like that brought it into existence. So to the church of Sardis, you have a name that you're alive, but you don't have sensitivity. You don't have movement. You don't have reproduction. You don't have assimilation. And to the church of Laodicea, they had learned to be Pentecost without Christ. They had learned that they could carry on their programs and the Lord be standing on the outside all the time. Outside, knocking, wanting to get in. They would like to be invited in to all the activities. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I'm here to tell you tonight that we can do nothing without Him. I can do nothing without Him. I'm a nobody. I am nothing. I am the dust of the earth. I am not worth anything. I know without Him that I can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We might as well recognize that now. No flesh is going to glory in His presence. And if we fail to give glory to God for that we do, then everything that we do will go down. It will be in vain. It will not amount to anything. It will fail. It will falter. It will come to naught. It will just be an empty form, dull, dead, dry, and boring. Amen. When people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then they'll do something about it. There'll be some movement. There'll be some sensitivity. There will be reproduction. There will be assimilation. And I'm going to preach to you tonight, oh, how we need to be a part of that church. That's the church of the open door. And the Lord said to that church, I have something special for you. You have a little strength. Now, He was not talking about people who were weaklings. Some folks misinterpret meekness for weakness. That's not true at all in God's economy. He was the meekest man that ever walked upon the face of the earth. Do you think He was weak? Do you think He was weak when He stood before the howling mob? Do you think He was weak when he stood before the crowd that was crying, "Crucify Him"? Do you think He was weak when He stood in Pilate's judgment hall? Do you think He was weak when they lashed Him to the whipping pole and the cat of nine tails was buried in the tender flesh? And again, the chunks of flesh were torn away until the bones were exposed. And David said in Psalms, those bones looked at Him. They gaped at Him. The flesh was torn away. Do you think a weakling could stand there and not answer when he's asked a question by a ruler who said, "I have power to let you go"? Do you think He was weak when He carried that cross up Golgotha's hill? Do you think He was weak when He stood suspended between heaven and earth, the maker of the universe as man, for man became a curse? the claims of law which he had made, unto the very uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the vow that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood, the sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread, the sun that hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space, the spear that spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn from rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Do you think he was weak? No, he was not weak. He was meek, but he was not weak. I love you, Philadelphia. You have a little strength. You don't think you're somebody. You don't boast in yourself. You don't boast in your greatness. But you are great because you have a little strength. You recognize who you are and who I am. That makes all the difference in the world. We need to start every service with the Word of God. We need to start every service magnifying the Lord. We need to start every service lifting Him up. We need to glorify Him. We need to sing until we feel that He's walking down the aisles. We need to get ourselves out of the way and realize we just have a little strength. But oh, He's the strong one. We're nothing. He's everything. We're a nobody, but He's the first and the last. He's the future and He's the past. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. He is everything. I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ is everything you need. Nobody has ever done for the world what He has done for it. Nobody has done for medical science what He has done. Nobody's done for the Heart Foundation what He has done. Nobody has done for the poor what my Jesus has done. Oh, He's great, and He's greatly to be praised. If your hero is a movie star, a football star, a basketball star, a rock star, paint your house with it. But if it's Jesus, you need to lift Him up. There is no one like Him. There's no hero like Him. There's no Savior like Him. There's no Redeemer like Him. There's no one like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the only one. Praise God. You have a little strength. You are saturated with my word. The word of God ought to be preached in Pentecostal circles more than any place in the world. And we need to dig into this book and discover that there are a few things in there that maybe we have not noticed, and realize there is a treasure house. Paul said it would be a good thing if we could comprehend with all saints what is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. That's greater than riches. It would be a good thing if we could dig into this book and realize that the church is not going to be battered and torn and scarred and all beat up and have band-aids all over it. And it's not going to just stumble over the finish line, my friend. It's going to rush over the finish line. It's going to be the glorious bride of Christ. It's going to be beautiful and glorious and victorious. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus Christ is radiant life. John 1 and 3, in Him is life, and the life is the light of men. In Jesus Christ is everything we need. not only radiant life, but abundant life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill and steal and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, not only life, but more abundantly. That doesn't sound like somebody just barely making it, crawling up a long step, wonder if they're going to get there or reach the top of the ladder. No, friend, we've got abundant life. Abundant life. Hallelujah. Not only that, we have triumphant life. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're always abounding. You can be sick and afflicted and down and out and still be always abounding. Not only abounding life and abundant life and radiant life, but overcoming life. Revelation 3, Revelation 2, 7 times, he that overcometh, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh, I'm going to give him a new name. He that overcometh is going to have a white stone. He that overcometh is going to sit with me on my throne. It's an overcoming life. We're overcoming something every day. That's not all. There's resurrection life. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're going to live. You think you're living now, we're going to live again someday. Praise God. Well, we have radiant life, abundant life, victorious life, overcoming life, eternal life. Is that all? No, John 4:14, Jesus said to the woman at the well, you drink this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. There will be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Not just eternal life, but everlasting life. It's going to last forever and ever. I'm not sick. I'm not afflicted. I'm not down. I'm not weary. I'm not down. I'm not out. I don't have the blues tonight. I feel a victory in my soul. God has given us something that's great. And we are going to praise Him and glorify Him. And let the world know that it's revival now, and it's revival here, and it's revival in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have a little strength. You're saturated with my word. You know what's the final thing? You have not denied my name. If there's any people in this world that love the name of Jesus, it's the apostolics that are here tonight. We sing in His name. We preach in His name. We pray in His name. We live in His name. We eat in His name. We sleep in His name. We're buried in His name. His name is a part of us. His name lives in us. His name is all over us. His name is with us. We have the authority to use that name. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for that name. To that church, the Lord said, you have gold and opportunities. To that church, there is no limit to what you can do. To that church, you can be the revival church of the 20th century. Praise God. Realize who you are, what you have, what you have been given, and then let's go with it. Let's leave camp meeting charged up like never before and go home and see how far we can go. You see, here's a church that was not satisfied with just the ordinary. It was not satisfied. You know, some people seem to think it's wrong to want to excel. I read according to this book that it's wrong not to want to excel. Something is wrong with us when we are satisfied with the size we are. When we are happy and contented with everything like the status quo, something is wrong with us. We need a new shaking. We need a regeneration. We need a refilling. We need to be stirred again. Amen. Something's wrong when you don't want to excel. And the Lord spoke about that. You're the Laodicean church. You say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you're poor and wretched and miserable, blind and naked. How far do you want to go? I'm asking you a question tonight. How far do you want to go? Have you gone as far as you want to go? Have you just come here just to be fed again and to grow a little bit fatter and then go home and feast all year on the richness and the fatness and the strength of what you receive? Or are we going to assimilate what God is speaking to the church in this hour and go back home and do what we can do and turn ourselves wrong side out and turn ourselves upside down and do something we haven't done before and dare to be different and dare to excel and see what can be accomplished for the name of Jesus and for the glory of God? I was raised in that old-fashioned home. We never had a home. Our car was our home. That's all we ever had. My dad would wax bold sometime, and he would get in those big tent meetings and hundreds of people be there, and that old car be pulled up to the side of the tent and signs all over it, and he'd say, if anybody can prove that the early church and the apostles baptized any other way, only in the name of Jesus Christ, I'll give you that car. Well, I could see all the family just going down the road, carrying our little boxes, trying to get to the next place of revival, scared half to death somebody was going to get up there and prove Dad was wrong and drive that car off. But you know, no one ever did. There were a few folks that got bold enough to try it, but they wound up being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was raised in revival time. I was raised in apostolic meetings. I was raised at the sound of prayer. I was raised at the sound of praise. I was raised under the gospel sound. I was raised under the hammer of the preaching of the Word of God. I was raised to see people come running to the altars. I'll never be satisfied with anything that's second best. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe it's time that we realize who we are and be turned on wrong side out and upside down, inside out, and be used of God. Use me, Lord. Use me. It was rather amusing at times. We would be traveling from one place to another. And when you get as many people in that old big car that had fold-down seats in the middle and travel as long as we did, it got tiring and it got amusing at times and it got on Mother's nerves at times. Mother would stand so much of it and then she'd say, now, you children are just going to have to be quiet a while. But long about late in the evening, we'd be traveling and going to have to travel maybe most of the night to get to the next place. We would start singing that old song, this world is not my home. And we'd sing the chorus, and then we'd start off with Dad. Oh, Dad, come and go with me to seek that land of liberty. Oh, do not wait, I'll tell you why. We seek that glorious home on high. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. This world is not my resting place. This world is not my home. We'd get through singing it to Dad, then we'd get to Mom. Oh, Mother, come and go with me. And then we'd go to R.G., the oldest boy. And you know, by the time you name 8 children and Mother and Dad, you can get a long ways down that old highway. Amen. We had a great time. The Kilgore car, there was nothing like it on the road, nothing like it in the country. Most folks thought it was a carnival when we'd pull in town, pull in that big trailer, and the signs all over it, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Obey Acts 2:38 and live. And they'd rush out to the street or on the porch, and they'd try to read it as fast as they could as we were going by. And they always got the message. And that was the intent and purpose, is that God moved on my dad to try to inspire people to read their Bibles to see if it was right or wrong. I thank God we have not denied that name. That name is still a part of us tonight. That name is bringing results. It's bringing revival. How far do you want to go tonight? Are you willing to go out beyond ankle deep? Can you go beyond knee deep? Can you go beyond the loins? Can you get out there in water where revival is, where you can swim around? Are you satisfied with being satisfied? Are you satisfied with where you are and what you have? Are you willing to go a little further? Jesus said, launch out in the deep and let down your nets and you can have a draught. Master, we have toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, if you say it, we're going to do it. And here they go. How far are you willing to go? It seems like he's calling to us, United Pentecost Church. Come out a little bit further. You've been around the shoreline too long. Get out there in waters where you can swim around. There were 500 that saw him as he ascended into heaven. Only 120 went to the upper room and became the children of the upper room. 380 of them went back home. They counted him slack concerning his promises. But 120 says, if he said it, we're going. We're going to go all the way. We're going to go as far as we can. We had 100 get the Holy Ghost last revival, but we can go a little bit further. There's 150 more out there. If somebody got healed, they can get healed again tonight. And they can receive it right here in this camp meeting and do outstanding things right here in this camp meeting. I appreciated so much Brother Anthony getting a plane for me today and seeing to it that I got to the funeral in Nacogdoches in time. Brother Warren Green ministered to me. We visited all the way over there and back. And what a blessing it was. He told me that he had a severe back affliction and vertebrae were ruined and damaged in his back. And there was a deterioration, and he didn't know how he could stand the pain much longer. And he said he had just come from the 5th specialist. 5 times he went to specialists. And when he got back that 5th time, he was in such pain. He sat down in his chair in his office, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him to call Brother Tom Barnes. He picked up the phone, and Brother Barnes knows Brother Warren Green real well. Brother Green is here tonight. God bless that good man. He loves Louisiana camp meeting like I do. And so he picked up the phone, and he said, Brother Barnes, do you have a message from the Lord for me? And he said, no, I don't. He said, in desperation, he said, Brother Barnes, don't you have a message for me? And it was a desperation. Brother Barnes said, I didn't, but I do. And all of a sudden changed his voice and began to tell him, the Lord is with you. The Lord is going to heal you. And immediately the pain left. Stand up, Brother Green. God bless you. Hallelujah. He has a right to rejoice after all that pain in his body. And you know the beautiful thing about it? He's been able to pray for people that have back trouble, and God is healing them. And if you're in this camp meeting tonight and you need healing, your back is hurting, go to Brother Green. Let him lay hands on you and pray for you. God wants to perform miracles around here. It's time for us to do more than talk about it. It's time for us to go out in the water, launch out a little deeper. Go out, wade out a little deeper. Go out just a little bit further. How far do you want to go? How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to reach out? Stretch yourself a little further. Strain yourself. Get desperate before God. Hallelujah! The reason I'm telling you we don't see it is because we don't get desperate enough for it. If we'll get desperate and say, I've got to have it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to get out of this rut. I'm going to get out of this place. I'm not going to live here any longer. I'm going to have freedom. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to have power. I'm tired of dragging out and moping around and dragging around. I'm going to have victory. Let's clap our hands and worship. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is in this place. God wants to do something great. I'm telling you, He is great and greatly to be praised. Reach out to Him tonight. I'm going to go a little further. You've been praying little weak prayers. You've been mumbling your little prayers. You've been just barely praying. Get desperate. Get out of my way, somebody. I'm going to go through. I'm going to press my way in. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to have healing. I'm going to have revival. I'm going to witness a miracle. Heal of a Hashatabahaya. Glory. Hallelujah. Get desperate out there, you folks. You want something from God. You've been asking so weakly. You need to elbow your way. The violent take it by force. Amen. Every man presses his way into it. I'm going to have it. I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give in. I'll keep a hold on. Hallelujah. Some of you folks out here have come here seeking for the will of God for your life. And you've just been playing around about it. If you'll get desperate in this camp meeting, if you will have a spirit of desperation, God will show you, give you a direction. You'll know His perfect will.
before this meeting is over. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's always in order to have a divine interruption. It's always in order. I don't want anybody to come up here tonight but desperate people. Hallelujah! I have felt the anointing of the Lord since last night, and I hope it never lets up. I'm going to be a changed man. I'm going to be a changed preacher. I don't know what God has for me, but He showed me on this floor last night that there would be some changes in my life. And I thank God for it. We've had revival the last few months in our church. In one high school, we baptized about 40 young people. About 40 of them. I'm looking at some of them here tonight. Praise God. Jay, wave your arms there. Monty is waving his arms. Jimmy's waving his arms. Glory to God. David, wave your arms. That's a good Presbyterian boy. Came to church with a long beard and so formal and dry, and he wouldn't move a peg. Now all he wants to do is jump up and down and talk in tongues and worship God. Hallelujah. Glory. He's jumping up and down right now. Come on, David. That's a school teacher. Monty's worshiping God right there. He came to church with a big red devil on his jacket. Devil worshiper. God got hold of him. I'll never forget that night. He laid across those steps and he started talking in tongues and the tears started dripping off of his face. There was tears of joy. It was tears of love. It was tears of victory. Monty went home at midnight and tore the posters of rock stars off of the wall and broke his acid rock records. Hallelujah. Here comes some more of them right here. God bless these young people. Praise God. Hallelujah. All you young people, get on down here. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. You talk about revival. We've had over 40 young people filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they want to preach, they want to witness, they want to work for God. Hallelujah. You have a right to praise Him. Glory. Hallelujah! This boy started tearing up his records, and his mother said, if anything could affect Monty like that, I want to go see what it's all about. Glory! Hallelujah! We've had Jehovah Witness. They're praying too. I'm telling you, it all depends on how desperate